Okay, we've just been joined by Komnas. He's going to tell us a bit about his interests as a youth. Go
for it. Okay, I think I'm older than most of the people here. So when I was younger, I loved the cartoons Brave Star and especially He-Man. Yeah. I pretty much just read Superman, a few comics. I didn't collect comics like that hectically when I was younger, and I really liked just generally like fantasy kind of fiction and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's Angelo again. I just had a moment of spark my brain. Was that even Miles reminded me about the cards? Collected all the Marvel cards, yeah. The Spider-Man cards. And I feel like today also with the movies running dry of ideas, they've now turned to comics to re-spark and reignite the industry. So that's like made me now read The Watchmen and V for Vendetta. Yeah, and that's it.
Let me also just add, those Marvel collectible cards were such a big thing for me, because it like commodified my love of the Marvel universe, and it just like, you know what I mean? It's like there were things to buy that represented this, you know, and I just wanted all of them, you know? And I think of the like 1,000 or whatever, I came within 15, and I think you came within 3 of those.
Yeah. I had like 2 missing.
You see, so we all had these.
Come so close and then
those
stop.
Canvas ones, man.
Those canvas, because they had the hologram ones and.
Copies, doubles of all.
By the way, Komnas is wearing a Flash shirt. So, Komnas, would you say that you've also, in recent years, rediscovered a love of DC and Marvel and all these things?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm collecting comics now in a way I never used to before. It's because I have a little bit of money now. as Angela was saying, I've been reading a whole bunch of graphic novels, Watchmen. But I actually like the more mainstream superhero graphic novels as well. Like, I've got Alan Moore's The Killing Joke. I really like mainstream, straightforward, male-oriented superheroes, yeah.
And that's also, I mean, it's noticeable here that there are no girls. But it's also one of those things, you think with fan culture, it's you'd be hesitant to, because you feel like even in when as a youth, girls had that nerdy vibe, they thought it was that nerdy vibe. So in a later focus group, we'll deal with girls from Sacred Heart. And on that note, Komnas is also from Sacred Heart, and I was saying earlier, Sacred Heart has a particular history because it was one of the first like multiracial schools, and it has this thing of being a very progressive school. I don't know if there's anything you could add to that, because you were there before us.
I'm not that old.
No, I know, but I mean,
just I don't remember the 80s transition to when it became.
Neither, but I mean, we were in the mid 90s. We were in school, in Sakura. So I was just anything. If you have anything to add to that.
No, so I pretty much. What's really nice is I went to 2 Marist schools during my life, one in Durban and one Sacred Heart. And the one in Durban was like a proper Catholic school. It was also interracial, but you could see that it was far more conservative, yes. Far more set in its ways. Sacred Heart, while being really progressive, actually allowed us to, you know, think for ourselves, such that we actually
form our own identities.
Form our own identities, and we actually mocked our religion teachers and religion class a lot, which I think is one of the great strengths of Sacred Heart, that you could do that in a Catholic school. And I mean, like some of the things we took for granted at school, like when you leave the school, you then realize, or not even when you leave the school, when you talk to your, well, my predominantly white family, well, my white family, you realize that people aren't like they are in school. And okay, Sacred Heart wasn't perfect. We shouldn't idealize it. There were massive problems there as well.
Yes.
But it was like an interesting little microcosm of like
South African society.
Well, no, free thinking, which produced a shitload of tensions and problems among students, among students and teachers. But, you know, at least there were those tensions there. At least we acknowledged them. And at least, you know, we tried to manage them and move forward. I think actually that's one of the great strengths of the school. It didn't shy away from acknowledging when cuck was bad.
That's true. Speaking of school, I don't know if anyone can help me with this, but I distinctively, even up until as far as matric, I remember going home and watching Dragon Ball Z and coming the next day and discussing with my friends, like before classes, or, you know, it's not just limited to Dragon Ball Z, but that's the latest one. But I remember talking about stories, and when I missed one and all the guys had watched it and everyone was talking about it, even Champions League, you know, there was a build-up at school. But it's, you know, and the next day everyone would be talking about their favorite teams, and I don't know if anyone has an experience they would like to share or just comment on that. No pressure. Anyway. Or anything, it doesn't have to be Dragon Ball Z. We're talking about like anything from school that you used to talk about with your friends during break, or did that happen? Do you remember doing it?
Champions League, all of us were falling asleep in class because we stayed up late the night before so we could watch the delayed game, or we had DSTV and stuff, we could watch it.
And it would be the topic of the week. You know?
It's just this year United's not in it. Generally, I'm very interested.
You want to add something, Peter?
Nah, I'm good for now.
Okay. And with that, let's go on with the viewing.